WNST, Towson of Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. 4th of July under my belt, although I did manage to find a gold watermelon at the Wise Market. This is the one where the old barn was. This isn't Rob Santoni's up a Harford Road. So I'm getting the vegetables in. I'm getting things going. And I got to apologize to Dennis because I've never had a Coons Ford shirt. I think I may have had a hat that I gave to my wife back during her illness. And I keep telling him, I'm going to get the shirt. But I got this is the good luck built Ford tough mug. My wife made it through two cancer battles. So I figure if I'm bringing this into the conversation here this week, it must be summertime. And I'm big gulping here. How are you, Den? Happy summer to you.
Happy summer. I'm well, Nestor. Thank you. I had a fantastic 4th of July weekend. Worked and played, went fishing again, and just spent some time on the water getting that vitamin D from the sun. And it was great just to watch people out, right, on pontoons and kayaks and bass boats, fishing and picnicking, and just everybody being unmasked and being out. It felt like America's coming back in a big way. People were in a very, very good mood, very, very celebratory mood.
Dan, you know, I went up to New York for a couple days last week and just – walked around. My wife and I walked almost 25 miles through the city in 2 days and trying to see, like, for what you said, the city coming back. New York was a little, you know, and it was 4th of July week. It was 100 degrees. I mean, I'll give it all the space. But I came back to Baltimore on Friday and Saturday, and we went through the harbor Saturday, went over to Amici's. I'm going over for soccer this week as well. And there were people out. And Baltimore was more vibrant than New York on 4th of July weekend. I know we didn't have the fireworks. I know people were – we went to Meriwether Post this weekend, then. We went to Dundalk this weekend, went to the Heritage Fair. While you were out fishing and doing all those things, we were moving around. And people are moving around. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think we have issues with jobs and filling them and you getting cars. And, you know, I talked to my dear friend, Bill Cole Roofing, said, you know, supply, demand chain and all that. But the people who are healthy that are out right now working, people are experiencing life, I think, a little differently this summer than maybe where we were a year, year and a half ago. I think there's some real happiness in whatever we're doing right now.
Yeah, I think there's gratitude and appreciation when you have things that are taken away from you as a human being. Of course, you're going to appreciate what you've lost. And now we have a chance to regain it, live our lives one day at a time, and see all the great wonders that are out there. And I've got to give you credit for putting Shohei Ohtani, I hope I pronounced it correctly. I watched him against the Orioles, two home runs, the back-to-back stolen bases, a game-winning run. I mean, the guy was so much fun to watch. And I tell you what, now I'm looking for him on TV, thanks to you.
Okay, so what happened, and this is like a little bit of a backstory, because I put this out on Twitter as well. When we were in Tokyo a year and a half ago, we walked through the market. It's one of the neatest places ever. I put a video up. It's Shizuoka Market. I don't know how to really pronounce it the right way, but it's it's the main Tokyo market. And we went through, you could buy beer, fish, sushi, whatever you want, soup, 6:30 in the morning, walk through the old school markets. And a dude sold us beer, and he just had a spirit about him. You're like, you know, he didn't speak any English, and he was making some sushi. And I'm like, this guy looks like he's got some shrimp I want to eat. He had some strawberries. They do white strawberries there in the morning, and he had beer. And I'm like, I said to my wife, I'm like, I want to get beer from this guy. Like, I just liked his smile, like the way he was. And he knew we were American, right? And he pulls up his shirt. And underneath of his shirt, he had an Angels jersey with 17 on it.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, I started, like, we were a little bit of baseball. He was showing me his Ohtani shirt. It was literally the day, literally the same day, because I remember the tweet, that the Orioles dealt Dylan Bundy to the Angels. And I tweeted something like, this guy's excited about Dylan Bundy being an Oriole. And then I realized he was wearing an Ohtani shirt, right? Like number 17, right? So I'm in New York on Wednesday, and I think we talked about this last week because Ohtani was pitching Wednesday night in Yankee Stadium. It's 100 degrees. We got on a 5 a.m. bus, which meant a 3:30 wake-up call. We got to New York. It was 100 degrees. I was like all coconut water, hydrated out, ready to walk. We walked 14 miles that day. We walked from 36th Street down to the bridge all the way back up, went to all sorts of places, ate pizza, soup, dumplings, beer, another beer, had Korean food. We did all of this stuff. And at about 5 o'clock, we were like, do we want to go up to Yankee Stadium? There's 100 degrees. We're like, we got to go back, shower. Can't go anywhere. We do that. And we wound up making, and from downtown Manhattan, it's 20 minutes, you know, express train tells you to go to 34th Street. You'll be there in 21 minutes, door to door, $2.70. It's not hard to do. I had the tickets on my app, and we just decided, you know what? We don't have the energy for it. We're just going to go get some sushi down the street, get some chicken wings. So my wife and I go and we get another beer. We're finally in the air condition. We're in this Asian place. There's waterfalls. Very nice. I look down on my phone at 7:30 and he had given up 7 runs in the first inning. Yeah. And we thought that, like, it was a good night to not see Shohei Ohtani pitch. And then lo and behold, 48 hours later, he's like doing moonshots off the Orioles all over my timeline. I mean, he is, I feel bad that I didn't go, but not really, because it wasn't like the night to see him pitch 2/3 of an inning. But I want to see him next month when he's here. I mean, they're here for 3 games in late August.
You know what? I might have to take in the game by myself. He's just dynamic to watch. And look, I've watched a ton of softball this year, and I like baseball. And you know, maybe watching him will get me back into the game, right? So it reminds me back when the Colts were really bad. Remember the last couple of years? We had 25.
Which years here? You want the Mike Pagel years, the Herman years?
Yeah,
Easter, which one do you like there?
All of them, because you know we had about 25,000 diehards in the stadium, and it was either empty or full of Steeler fans or whomever came to town. But you know, we were going back then to watch Dan Marino and Earl Campbell and all those great players that came into town. I think the Orioles are the same way right now, right? They don't have many great players, but we do get a chance to see players like Ohtani come into that town, right? So that's the benefit of you know, having a hometown baseball team.
Well, I mean, I was over in the beer garden at the Dundalk Heritage Fair, sponsored by our friends at Wise, of course. Dan, you can't whatever Coons does in the community, like, and what corporations do locally after this, keeping something like the Heritage Fair going, it's been going on all of my lifetime. And it really does come from like real community support. And I'm over there and they're just, the bands were there. The crowd wasn't great on Friday. The crowd was really good on Saturday. Sunday, they had the Chicago band over there. Saw Crack the Sky. Had a lovely night. And people were coming up to me. And I was kind of shocked that, like, in the beer garden, just with my wife hanging out, and people come up and talk to me about my hair or the music or my wife or whatever. I'm Springsteen, whatever they saw on my timeline. Everybody wanted to talk a little baseball with me in Dundalk.
Okay.
You know, people came up and they were talking about Rutschman. They were talking about, are we going to trade Cedric Mullins, or are we going to trade Trey Mancini this week? Like, people were, baseball was on the tongue. And I'll say this, since I've been back, I've talked more baseball about the Blue Jays playing up in Buffalo. I saw that was on the morning news today. The All-Star Games next week, Trey Mancini is going to be in the Home Run Derby. So I think there's going to be some interest in that on Monday night. So it still is summertime in Baltimore, right? Like, the fact that the team stinks is a story, but I still think we have some sort of heartbeat about baseball. I mean, and let's be honest, then 4th of July is over. We're 3 weeks from training camp now.
We are.
Like
we
the
are.
Real training camp. And once that starts, it's a tsunami of purple here. You know that.
Hey, now the other big story that I'm watching closely is the fact the college players now can be paid, right? So that opens up a whole different conversation. One of my sponsors has already sponsored a kid from Carolina, North Carolina basketball. So we're going to start seeing corporations and businesses sponsoring these young men and women, banking on them having a great pro career as well.
Well, that is, it's, I think we could talk all night about that, right? Like, as to what it's going to be. I think the initial thought for guys like you and me is, what would this have meant for Len Bias? What would this have meant for player X? You know, I can get Walt Williams on here and he'll tell me about it, or Len Elmore, any of these guys, right? that in my era that, you know, we were lucky to get, you know, shoelaces on our sneakers, you know, whatever the deal was, or whoever took handshakes. I thought it was a little weird that like Reggie Bush became the poster boy for it on the 1st of July when it all happened. And I saw Andrew Brandt, and I'll get Andrew on. And I mean, we'll wind up talking about this a lot. It's like gambling in sports, that I see it in baseball now, and it's kind of pervasive and everywhere. Sports radio has sort of moved in that direction now to sort of feed the sharks. I don't know how that moves the needle. You know what I mean? I don't know what it does for kids stay in college. You know, like once you get to college, you start getting paid. There's already a huge incentive for every player to only stay a year or two and leave anyway. From the basketball side, I don't know that the right guard at Nebraska is going to have a hamburger deal. You know, I mean, because he's going to be a number one draft pick or whatever. But I can see these kids at least padding their pockets and making thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, which would look like thousands of dollars to, you know, when we're intern and making $5 an hour or whatever that number was. That's a different thing that every kid that would have achieved at that level would have at least had pizza money and go on a date money that was illegal, right?
Yeah, it certainly changes things. And for me, the Reggie Bush thing, look, he broke the rules at the time. The rules have now changed. You can't go back in history and rewrite it. If I got a speeding ticket, you know, 10 years ago here on 695 because I was doing 65 and the 55, and now the raise limit to 65, I can't go back and get my money back, okay? That's past tense. You can't go back in time and undo things because it wasn't wrong. It was wrong at the time. As of now, it's no longer wrong, but you can't go back and give back Heisman trophies and give teams back, bowl wins, et cetera. You know, that's water under the dam. We have to progress and go forward.
Well, I have these pictures back, and I like to tell this story. Back when Fang Mitchell, when Coppin won the big games up in Pittsburgh back in 97, I believe it was. March of 97. That sounds right. The South Carolina and the Texas games, those games, they came to my studio. We were broadcasting up in Towson at the Sheraton, and they came into the studio, the whole team. Fang brought the team bus up. There were 15 guys and, you know, their PR guy, and they were all crowded into my studio there, all, you know, big band studio at WLG. And we had a pizza sponsor. It might have been Lido. No, it wasn't Lido's. It was Mama Lardo okay. Pizza back in the day. They sponsored the Blast and whatnot. And they brought out pizzas, you know, like bring five pizzas. There's 15 kids, you know. And we stacked the pizza up and they sat in my studio, no Twitter. But all of my pictures, they are eating pizza out of boxes. And I'm breaking the NCAA. Like if that were on Twitter, if that were a live stream 25 years later, giving these kids pizza. I mean, you mentioned your sponsoring a North Carolina kid. My dude, Captain Harvey, Steve Cerrone, was a nut for Carolina. And he was very close with Terry Truax at Towson.
Okay.
And because of Terry was close with Dean Smith and John Wooden, the whole tree, right? I have an autographed wooden pyramid signed by Terry Truax that's also signed by John Wooden that was signed to him. And he would always want to like send cheesesteaks out to the kids at Towson. And it was always sort of against the rules. But if like the kid drove to Dundalk, walked in, said, I play for Towson, Steve could hand him a sub. Nobody would know. That's 1986, whatever the year was, right? I have no idea what shenanigans go on. I mean, we got congressmen buying girls on the side on Venmo now, right? Like, I have no idea how money is transacted and all that. But at least this thing's sort of going above board to some degree. I don't even know what to say because the NCAA's rules were so sort of odiously un-American and sort of the Britney Spears laws for athletes. Yeah. It was always really weird to me. And it was always sort of like, well, of course that kid's going to eat the pizza. Of course he's going to eat the pizza. He's starving. His mother's starving. Of course he's going to take the $500, right?
Yeah, a lot has changed now. It's a new era for a lot of different reasons. We've seen programs in the past get heavily penalized when they found donors and sponsors for these kids. And I mean, LeBron James, there was a lot of smoke around him when he was in high school. And there was, you know, I remember him vividly playing with a toy Hummer on a basketball court when he was in high school because he had a Hummer. And where did the Hummer come from? Who paid for it? So there's always been that the shadow, I guess, of what goes on.
There's somebody who's slipping Skip Wise money in the 70s, right? Like literally, right? Like, yeah. How did Moses Malone wind up being on the UCLA to East and never showing eye? Like, there's a whole espionage thing that would be years and years of that. But to not acknowledge it for all of our lifetime and then to turn the spigot on yeah. Monday where – you know, Jimmy's Crab House can sponsor a guy, and I can get a cameo with a Brigham Young quarterback if I want, if I love old Brigham Young, you know, or whatever. It's, I don't know, the genie's out right now, right? So it's just very predictive at this point. You know, I predict these kids will make some money, right? I mean, it's, and I don't know what the next shenanigan is after that, right?
Yeah, I think you made a great point in regards to it being above board now, because in the past it was disguised and there were kids getting cars and parents getting cars and houses, et cetera. So, and the NCAA had enough to do.
Well, my favorite was when you have to hire my dad as an assistant coach.
Yeah, that too. So yeah, now,
that was prevalent, right? That was a big one, right?
Yeah, it was, right? The dad and the uncle and everybody else, right?
How about that goofball in L.A. a couple years ago with the ball kids, right?
Yeah. Look, if you can become the rainmaker for your family, right, why not? It's the American way. It's human nature, too. So I like the fact it's above board. The question is, how high is the ceiling going to be, right? And now that you have money, above board money, as you mentioned, where does it go from here? There's a lot of unintended consequences, and I don't know how much – thought was put into this, because you mentioned it was like you wake up and boom, there it is.
Dennis Galatzos is here. I still have the Built for Tough mug. I'm just doing this publicly to shame myself about not picking the shirts up because I have been on the west side of the Beltway and I'm embarrassed.
In your defense, you've been asking for a shirt for years, and you know, so I've been the one that's been
in my defense, you've offered to deliver them, and I'm like, no, I'm gonna come over, then life happens, and you go fishing, and I go 4th of July, and Stuart Pittman joins me at G&M. If I don't get over there this week, I feel shame. I'm just gonna crawl in the sand.
I will deliver them to you. I'll bring them downtown, and I will get a half a yellow melon, golden melon from you. And the nice thing is, you know, Weiss, I love your affiliation with the Weiss Market. There's one right across the street from us on Security Boulevard that I frequent almost daily. I mean, nobody's got better fruit than Weiss Market. Their fruit is sweet. It's not hard, you know, it's not bitter. I mean, they have, hands down, not because of their affiliation with Baltimore Positive, but for me, you know, I take my mom to the Weiss Market across from a Brightview up there in White Marsh every week. We go shopping together.
You know, it's been a wonderful relationship for all of our sponsors. It goes without saying this summer with what I'm doing in the Maryland Crab Cake Tour and everything, and then beyond. Football season around the corner. For Wise to come on and talk about Wise coverage. The thing with the Wise folks, and I'll leave this with you. I had a gal on named Hannah last month talking about National Dairy Month, and it led me into one of my favorite conversations, which you know is ice cream, right? So we started talking about ice cream, and she mentioned tea berry ice cream. Have you ever had tea berry ice cream?
I have never had tea berry ice cream, so now –
Have you ever heard of it?
I have heard of it because of you. You just now.
I haven't had it. And it's in my freezer, and this is National Ice Cream Month, by the way.
Okay.
So I'm going to do that. But I do want to let you know that, because you and I talk food so much, this yellow gold watermelon, we were checking out, and I hadn't been to the produce aisle. My wife was freezing, and we had to get out of the store. And I went over, and they had it cut, and it was like red, gold. Grabbed it. I threw it up there. And the poor woman that was checking us out had no idea how excited I was. And I'm like, oh, this is going home with us. It's going home. I have it in the other room. My wife already cut. I should have brought it in here and ate. I don't want to torture you like that. But I'm letting you know, gold watermelon's out. And here's the other thing. I had peach cake this morning.
Ah, see, there you go.
That's what I should do because I love you is I should bring you peach. That will.
I love peach. By the way, I love peaches. It's got to be my favorite fruit. It's way up there.
Have you had proper peach cake before?
I've never had proper peach cake, but I've had proper peaches, white, gold, you know, you name it. The saucer type peaches. Right. Hey, make a call.
You've done enough nice things for me. It's time that I repay you. And when I bring the peach cake to you, you're going to forget that I didn't pick the shirts up this week.
Make a call and make sure your wise people get some golden melon over at the security store.
I'm going to drop a dime.
Do me a solid. I'll buy three or four.
Get the gold watermelon over to West Side. You know, Santonio will say that's store number 121. He'll know the number all that. So
you better look. Tell him Colazzo's goes there daily. I've spent a lot of money at store number 121.
Well, I don't know what number it is. I'm making that up. We also have a store in Reading.
We also have 170 employees. Guess where they all shop? That store up there, Security Boulevard. All
right. I'm going to create. I'm going to make some magic happen. We're going to do it. We're going to do an appearance.
Hey, golden melons for Coons. How about that? That's the campaign.
Sounds a little racy. I don't know. We have to run that by Crystal and Mr. Coons might not like that.
Sounds great. Look, they don't have to know. Shh. Be our secret.
No one listens. Everyone hears. He is Dennis Colazzo. You can find him, D. Colazzo Show, out on the Twitter thing, as well as Thursday from 3 until 5. You'll find me in his parking lot at some point bringing peach cake amongst other goodies. I'm out on the west side of town at G&M on Thursday with Anne Arundel County Executive Stuart Pittman. The crab cake tour continues. We were in Harford County with Republicans last week. We'll be with Democrats in Anne Arundel County. Somewhere we'll meet the mayor and county executive Johnny O in the middle here at some point. We're doing the tour. Tour begins August 1st out in Ocean City, moving west to Deep Creek Lake. I am Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never, ever stop talking. Bill Ford, tough. Coons Ford and our friends at Baltimore Positive.